Blog Talk Radio.
At this pivotal time in humanity's evolution, we are beginning to remember our organic technology. A technology, when used correctly, can create an experience that the majority of people the world over want to live. It is time to use this technology consciously for our own benefit and healing, and no longer unconsciously for our own demise. We are divine creatures, creating both our own personal and our collective experience, moment to moment. We invite you to join us and the reawakening of this technology through experiment and experience the power to create and manifest. Become part of the 3%, the collective imagination.
Lisa's, you're mute, I think, Lisa.
Oh, what a shame. I did a good intro, too. Welcome, everyone, to this week's Collective Imagination Program. We just have a guest today, Gerald O'Donnell, and I'll introduce him shortly, but we'll just get to our regular panel. So, welcome, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
Good. All that dead air. Oh, seriously. And Michael, you there? You with us?
Sure am. Hello, everybody.
And Bob Wright.
Hello, Lisa. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show.
How are you doing?
Awesome.
Awesome. Oh, you sound like Barbara now. Awesome.
I've been giving him lessons.
And Peter.
I'm great, thank you. And it's always a great time working with such a professional as yourself, Lisa. That was sarcasm, everybody.
Okay.
No, I love you, mate.
I'm actually having problems calling in, so I might see if I can grab him here without causing too many problems with the call quality. Let's have a look. Gerald O'Donnell, can you hear me?
Hi, everybody. Do you hear me now?
Yes, we do.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I'm having some connection problems. I was calling the number and it was dropping.
Thank you for joining us.
Okay, if you have a problem, I'll try again on the other line. A little, you know, but how do you? If you hear me well, it's fine. We'll continue like that.
So I did try to give Gerald an explanation on the show, and I just want to introduce everybody to Gerald, founder of GlobalFutures.com, the Academy of Remote and Remote. So very, very well equipped with a lot of information on energy work, energy mastery. And I'm sure people have on the panel have quite a few questions for him, but I want to start with just the distinction between remote viewing and remote influencing. I think most of the people on listening to this show will be familiar with the concept of remote viewing. How does that differ from remote influence? And I'm interested in seeing how that corresponds with the collective consciousness and the way we work with it.
Okay. There is really no difference. It's just when you're remote viewing, you realize eventually because that you're really also remote at the same time, because reality is plastic. It's not so people think that they're seeing something outside their immediate sensory reality, their belief system or their perception of it can alter the way they see it.
So the observer influences what they're observing. So therefore, everything is influencing.
Everything is influencing, is consensual influencing. See, when they started doing this so-called remote viewing, which is really projecting your mind somewhere else, the people that were either in the military or intelligence thought they had, gotten the ultimate key to, be able to put their thoughts and read what's happening anywhere in the world without using electronic gadgetry or sending humans. And they would sometimes be effective and sometimes they would not be effective, but they couldn't understand why they wouldn't be effective. And then the thought came that if you had like multiple humans that would witness the same event, in other words, if you had somebody really actually there,
mm-hmm.
on the what they call the target side, and then you would then try to see what that person would see or the same situation, then the results were by far better. What was really happening was that you were entering the consensual reality of creation, whereby one was witnessing with sensory apparatus a situation which is usually very static. It's more definite because the creator is imagining, the whole creation is imagined in the mind of the creator. And then the person that would then be projecting the mind would connect to the consensual reality of this, and then this would be therefore more frozen in time and space, and then you would see it. But when there was no one that was there as a what they call the beacon, very often the results were not as strong. So I'm not even sure if they understand it until now, but what is really happening here is that your mind and your perception of mind will influence your perception of reality. People who do what's called what they perceive as astral projection very often would get out of their body, be in the room, and then say, "Wow, I'm seeing the whole room, and it looks exactly the same." But then as they start looking more closely, there might be an object or two that's moved, that's not in the right place. And then they're always asking, why is it not in the right place? It's because they're at the level where reality is plastic. It's not as much of a low hum. It's more like the prototypal reality that gives birth to our reality here, which we think is real, matter-like.
Michael, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. The further you go, out, things become more plastic and changeable. You can have time overlaps. You can have space overlaps. So it's real tricky to be able to actually view the linear timeline as it exists per our perspective when we're inside of our bodies.
Now, you've experienced, I think it was you, maybe it was Peter. Sorry, there's a train going past. It's going to get noisy.
Well, we'll just move it out of our reality. And that's it.
Yeah, if you can move these trains out of mine, that'd be great. One of you did tell me a story about experiencing viewing a scene through somebody else's eyes, entering in some fashion that person and viewing the scene and being able to influence the scene through them.
Are you asking me or asking Michael now?
Michael now.
Okay, please.
That would be, that's actually me.
You, Peter, okay.
That's something that I do every now and then to make events go the way that I think they should go, if I think it's a just cause and so on. When you do that, because you ground into that person a lot more harder, it's more than remote viewing, it's more like doing what you would call a walk-in, where you actually start being that person for a little bit and manipulate what they're doing for their benefit so they can see a new way or strategy into what they do. The side effect of this is if that person gets hurt in any way, shape and form, you can actually end up with the injury from that situation as well.
Have you ever experienced anything like that, Gerald?
I've experienced a tremendous amount of injuries occurring from higher realms, but I'll be frank with you, this particular experience, no. Entering someone else's perception and then getting injured through that. No, what you very often experience, you know, because when you enter somebody else's perceptive reality, you're really merging with that person's conscious energy.
Mm.
And people are made of all kind of attachments and all kind of energies, both, you know, of all kind of shades. They're not only black and white, they're gray. And I mean, there's everything inside. And then when you start connecting to people's energies, very often as you somehow disconnect in perception, you bring back some of these energies with you, unless you know how to protect yourself and cut the links and so forth. So, what Michael is saying makes total sense. I mean, yes, you know, because you know, you become just basically. If you're good at it, you're gonna unify with that field, and that if there's an injury done to that field, you get injured.
Yeah. What actually happened? Well, I was taking something over, and I got hit without spotting it. I got hit by a rocket launcher or a bazooka, a large explosion, and wasn't able to get out of the body quick enough, so I end up bringing the injury back with me. And then someone asked me to do a remote viewing on them, and I went to them and projected to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy wanted evidence, and so I left the injury with him and to show him I was there, and then he felt the injury, and then I got rid of it and did it that way. But that's just, I didn't do that particular one on purpose. I didn't try and bring back the injury. It was just so quick that I didn't have any choice, and so I ended up bringing back that energy into that thing, and I couldn't move my right arm for quite a while.
I feel like I need to apologize to anyone who's listening to this show for the first time today. This may be somewhat blowing. The quality of the call coming at my end is quite strange, and I'm getting a little echo. Is anyone not got headphones?
I got headphones. I'm hearing an echo, though, too.
Yeah, I have headphones I've been muted.
Okay, I'll be frank with you. Every single time I do an audio show, there is some kind of communication problem. I don't think people cannot call in, or I have no idea what it is. I don't want to impute anything on that. Would you want me to try again the number, the direct number, and then we'll do like an interruption for a little while?
Yes, if you can.
Okay, so I call that number that you gave me, correct?
Yeah, next to the number on the Blog Talk channel, there should be a little Skype button. If you press that, you should be able to call.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to do this right now. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Okay. Just hang up from this call.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that was an interesting start. Wow.
Yeah.
We still have the echo, though. Gerald, you need to hang up from this call. There we go. No, it's still there. No, it's not. Good.
No, okay.
What did you think of all that, Bob? No, the echo's still there. It's not Gerald.
Sounds like we're in a cave.
It does. How does it sound to the audience? Can you just type into the chat, guys? If there's echo or dropout, static, anything? No? No one's commenting. Echo. Okay.
Yeah, only with you, though, Lisa. And then occasionally with Gerald, he, at the very beginning, he was actually, you know, dropping out, you know, every couple of seconds it would catch up. But that ended. So let's just cross our fingers and let's try to ground the call.
Clear it up now. Okay, that's good. Well, hopefully we can get Gerald back in, though, because there's lots to ask him.
Absolutely. And fascinating.
That is fascinating. And I know that he can do a lot of the work that's similar to what Michael and Peter do. He has been putting out, from his website, updates, newsletters, where he gets information from The One. He refers to it as The One. And it's been some beautiful stuff. So I just really want to hear from him in terms of what he thinks the next few months hold. Has he done a remote viewing on the future? That sort of thing. So I do hope we can get him back. Now, Bob.
Yes.
Yes. Give me an update on you. Give me an update on your experiences of the collective over the last week.
Well, I've really been coming, very, very clear on our ability to create. Our ability to create is extremely powerful. We are doing it every second and every moment of the day, and I'm starting to realize how profound just understanding this is. Because if our belief in non-existence is what creates the illusion of death. And I'll give you a for instance. A man walks into the room, chops off the head of your best friend. Your mind says, he can't possibly survive that. He's dead. And instantly he's removed from your reality. You can't see or hear him, even though he's just stood up and said, hey, I'm okay. I don't know how, but I'm still here. You don't see him or hear him. It's likened to the hypnotist who hypnotizes the man with his sister. I think I told this before. He suggests that he can no longer see or hear his sister. And he immediately starts looking around the room, even though she's standing right in front of him. And to illustrate the point, he writes a note on a piece of paper that he shows to the audience and holds it against the back of the sister with his hand. And the man, because he can't see his sister, proceeds to read the message through his sister. So when he was talking about our reality is really, shaped by our beliefs, what we think and what these belief systems, this is an understanding that I'm really starting to come to terms with and integrate, understanding that, this is why people fight and kill over beliefs, because beliefs are really powerful. They shape your perception of everything that you experience. So in relation to that, this is something I resonate with very, very much, very strongly, because if people would stop believing in death, death would be no more.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, am I there now?
Yes, I'm getting back.
Okay. Sorry. How is the sound now, all right?
I think it's only echoing. Oh, no, it seems to have stopped. That's great.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Bob, I agree with you completely. I think it's a program that we've fallen for to a greater extent about lifespan.
Oh, very much so, very much so. A lot of our reality is based on ideas that were handed down to us, ideas about the way things should be or the way that they're supposed to be, And you notice the children, before they understand what death is or before they're taught to, believe in non-existence, they see all of their, dead relatives and grandparents and great-grandparents and great-aunts and uncles and make friends with them. And, until somebody convinces them that their quote-unquote imaginary friend isn't real, and then they stop believing that they're real and that whole reality disappears from them. I look at, some of the historical records. In the 12th century, they were documented in journals about dragon attacks. Now, were these educated people lying, or did they actually see dragons? Because that's what they believed in. They believed that dragons exist, and they saw dragons. And that, I think, speaks to our power of creation. we keep looking for, you know, where the end of the universe is, and every time we look, we find more. Well, that's not a coincidence. We're creating all of it. So, Gerald, when you were talking about that, I very strongly resonate, because I'm experiencing that now, you know, because I can see how my thoughts and feelings are actually connected to everything that I'm experiencing. I can see that the energy that I am putting out is really my reality.
Right. If I may interject something, is that there is our consensual reality with the people we interact, and if we interact with people more closely, then is there an echo coming back? Sorry.
There was for a second there.
Yeah. Somebody is like playing around here on some other vibrational level. Anyway, so if there is a consensual reality that's been built up, it's usually built up with what you focus more upon, meaning that the people that you're connected more with or to are going to affect your consensual reality more by the intensity of your thoughts and the intensity of their thoughts reflecting back to you. So this is what's happening, what you could call on the soul level, you know, the horizontal planes. And then on top of it, if you want, on top of the pyramid exist levels of the creator, if you want, of at least this type of creation that is imagining the whole situation. So we can only operate our imagination to a certain level, meaning that we have free will to a certain level, but we cannot, for instance, decide one day we're going to fly or that the bridge will disappear. That's not given, because the intensity of the energy that's imagining the whole situation, the global situation, is by far more intense than we can project out, unless we do a gigantic effort together. And even that has not been proven yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is this whole game, if you want, what I call the game of the cross, or the perfect cross. You know, the levels are more vibratory as we go up, and then on the horizontal plane, the accumulation of energies that get together and that try to affect and are affecting anyway consensual reality by their belief systems and the intensity of their concentration on each other and on the belief system. Yes, you know, you give an example, for instance, of departed people. And I may say something here, which, I don't know, might shock some people, but it's only because we are, at the human level, so visual, what we think is visual, that when we connect to the so-called invisible world, we might see it in a human type of visibility. And like you said, children very often do see that. On a different perspective, what I call the implicate order, it's all vibratory light, but of a different quality. And that vibratory light, the soul, is really a vibratory group of particles. And there is no real vision, per se, as we see it. It's a different type of vision. It's more like a perspective of, you know, if I could compare it, you know, when you see ants and they perceive things, they don't perceive, they perceive it vibratory-wise. They don't perceive it like looking with eyes like we see it. It's a different way of seeing things or perceiving. It's more perceiving than seeing. But it can go by far further than our eyesight can go. So like you said, you know, when there are dragons, and everybody believed in dragons, dragons used to appear. Now that people are starting to become more modernized, the dragons are shifting into UFOs probably. And as we are going to become more technologically advanced, they're going to show us more technologically advanced type of projection. The background radiation that's projecting this might be the same background radiation, adapting to our belief system so that we accept it. Because if somebody were to show you like old, you know, gods or old belief systems, people would be laughing, saying, you know, who runs around with a sword and wants to attack with a horse right now? It doesn't make any sense. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No.
Sorry.
In a word, what is it that was projecting to us as dragons and is now projecting to us as UFOs?
The same energy as a background Okay, that has a desire for us to believe that we have to, let's say, fight the dragon. Okay, I'll give you an example. You know, Saint George, and we have to bring the beast that's coming to us. May now use a more modernized version of it, which would become technologically more advanced, so we then accept it.
But what is that force?
It's always the same force. The force is real. The manifestation of the force that it is projecting onto our minds is not real. It's only a manifestation. It's only a projection of reality. So that we play the game, but on a different level now. It's the same game, but it's played on a different level. You following me?
Yeah, I think I am now.
It's always the game of creation. And the game of creation is the mixture of the creator that keeps the whole creation in its own mind versus the individuals within the creation who have mobile realities within this world, the worlds that are projected to us. Because a creator can have many worlds. Because at the level of vibratory light, you can imagine, it's like the equivalent of a digital computer. You can imagine an immensity of worlds at the same time and keep them vibrating. Whereby we, as humans, cannot imagine that much or that many realities at the same time because we use visualizations or we use what we think are our five senses.
Michael and Peter.
Yes.
You guys get that?
Yes.
Are you in agreement?
Yes. I spend a lot of time not in my brain, or I'm outside of it and in what I call the mind. And there's many worlds or realities that I've made that are populated with beings and everything. So I know what it's like to spend time on that level and to be a creator. As well, I spend time in my body as an individual inside of this creation as well, so I totally understand.
It's just like exercising, for instance, we've got a particular exercise we do with our mind and our brain, and how to separate them, and it works quite well. And then once you do that, you sort of realize that they're not controlled by your brain, really. Your mind has the ability to see far more than your brain could ever see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's some questions that are coming up in the chat room, Gerald. I just want to address them before we lose them.
Sure.
Which is your thoughts about timelines. Some people appear to see beyond 2012 and say this is the direction we're going in, and others say you can't see beyond 2012, that it becomes, the timelines converge, or there's so much different talk about timelines and what happens after 2012. Have you remote viewed beyond December 2012, and what are your thoughts on timelines?
Okay. First, let's start to define time. Because Time is just a sequence of experiencing events. There is, and it's all what we experience. One event after another gives us this perception of continuity, and then we call this time. And then the basis by which we will call a time are going to be cycles. So we're going to have a cycle of day and night. We're going to have a cycle of either on the moon or on the sun, of what we call a month. And then everything is regulated around those cycles. So there is no real time, but there is relative time relative to a cycle and a completion of a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we call a timeline. The idea of 2012 is not an idea of a timeline per se. It's an idea of a process that exists within the total mind now. And I'm not even talking about the creator of this creation, which is gigantic. I'm talking about the infinite mind, total infinite mind. It starts creating and starts projecting parts of itself that are going to become creators. And I'm not talking about human creators. I'm talking about creators of universes. And they project on different vibratory level, creations. And those creations, as they get projected, start going further and further away from the center that projected them. So therefore, creation has become more separated from the idea of connection, of the feeling of being connected and being one. The idea of individuality and the feeling of individuality gets increased almost exponentially as the creation is further remote, not in space nor in time, but further remote from the perception of originating from source. So our creation is really on the periphery, if you want, of this. You could consider this to be a sphere of perception of where all of creation stands on. It has pushed the limit of individuality and then free will to the extreme. And then when I'm saying free will, I mean free will of the individuals, free will of the higher souls, which we call the background, you know, perceptions of ourselves, and then free will of the creators here, who have tremendous free will. The problem is that we don't necessarily use the free will in the right way, or most people don't believe in free will. See, when you have a background energy that doesn't want you to believe in free will, it gives you precept telling you that you're born in sin and then you can do things and you don't realize the power of your mind to create reality because it's not given to you, because everything seems to be so static and so immutable and so harsh and so based on space, time, and matter seems to be something that will never evolve, or it would take forever to evolve. So you don't realize that matter is but energy, and energy is but non-space. There is really no space in between it. You know, we think it's space, and then you affect everything. So you are taking your power away. What's happening right now is that the totality of the mind cannot go further because it will lose the envelope around the sphere of creation. It will disintegrate. The whole envelope of creation has gone as far as it can be. And the mind now is doing it's like a pulse. You know, it's like a heart. It expanded as far as it could as an out-breath, and now it's starting to do an in-breath. So the moment of the shift, there's going to be a shift between the time of the out-breath where the free will was totally given on the outside more than the inside had free will, will now shift back and turn around. This is like the inversion of the poles. It will totally turn around, whereby instead of us connecting to what we can potentially do, we're going to have a perception that we are going back to our source. It's not going to happen in a year or in 1,000 years. It's going to be a very, very, very long process, and it's not affecting only this creation. It's affecting all creations. And what we, for us is 2012, for them can be, if they're operating within time, can be any kind of period. The parallel universe, it's irrelevant what period they're in. But they're all starting to contract back.
I'm making an analogy at the moment in my head between what you're saying and what Peter did the other week. Peter had created a lot of orbs, put himself, fragments of himself in those orbs and sent them out, and they'd been out for a very long time. And then about 2 weeks ago, he did what he calls an in-breath, and he brought them all back into himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like what you're saying, is that the creator of all creation is now doing an in-breath. So we
Absolutely.
Will have a perception of oneness again.
Yeah, well, we have no choice.
Can I just put a clarification here? When he's talking about creators and so on, see, which Michael and I use the word grandfather, is doing his in-breath, automatically he's creating an in-breath for us. So you're doing an in-breath as well. Some people who can't hold their individuality, which just means the conscious level that they have created in this world already, will actually become part of that breath. The ones that do know who they are, where they stand in this world, and have created their own timeline, they will not be taken back to the source because they become individualized source members and actually become part of the new source, which is about to be created. Why there's a blank screen, and it's not a blank screen, by the way. You can actually project past the blank screen of 2012, and but the thing is, it's an open creation plan is sitting there, not the end. So that's the difference.
That's all I wanted to clarify on that.
Okay, I'm not even sure if I understood that.
No, I think I understand what you're saying.
You've got the echo again, though. That's better.
It's better now?
Yes.
Okay. And I can only tell you what I'm getting as the information. There is one source, that's it, of creation. It's not an ocean of consciousness. It's something we can't even conceive of. It has no name. It's thought manifesting, but not our human thought. It's like it needs to restrict itself into systems so that it perceives itself as beings. So that source of everything, because of the fact that creation has been allowed, not in this creation, talking about phases and phases and phases and phases of creations by the millions or trillions, nobody knows. But because to expand itself so far out and do exactly what you've just said, there would be individuals that, because they were emphasizing the idea of individuality, were then allowed to, and because of the potential they had conquered of creation, were then allowed to be given more tools, if you want to call them creational tools, or more ability to then either create individually or to unite to a global consciousness, if you want, that would then be creating. It's like as if you create a baby, as if you clone yourself in a lower level, and then you try to see what will happen. That whole phase of cloning, multiplying, which I call the phase of the phase of projecting breath out of yourself, is going to stop for a moment, and then there will be an intake of breath everywhere. And when this happens, between the out-breath and the in-breath, there will be a gap. You know, it's like, and no one, that's the thing, no one can see beyond that gap, because no one knows or understands what a general breath of that level is. It says never happened in creation yet. So there is no...
Why has it never happened before? Why is it new?
Because there was never the need perceived by Source, who in reality was perceived to be passive, if you want. That was energizing creation, because the energy of life is the energy of Source. It's like if you have a computer, if you don't have the electricity going in, it doesn't function. You know, but the electricity is not doing anything besides nourishing the entities. So the entities are operating within the operations of creation, and we're talking about gigantic amount of entities. Even your own biology is like trillions and trillions of cells, and every single biology, it's incredible. I mean, creation is, you know, all you can say is just look at it in awe. It's unbelievable. So all this has gotten the energy of Source, but Source was not really active. It was keeping everything alive and manifested and alive in its own imagination, but not creating, allowing for free will to operate. Right now, because of, if I can only give the example of our creation, because of the dysfunctionality of our creation, because of the fact that, you know, we have been given, and we are at the point where we not only do we have the power to destroy our environment, but we are destroying our environment, because of the fact that, because of very old belief systems that we have started to distort, humanity is starting to take on a very negative, you know, pathway, whereby using powers that it should never, but they can, because within free will it was given to them to take it and use it for either good or evil, but they might use it for evil. We have the potential to blow ourselves up out of a planet, but this is not only affecting only us, it's affecting everything else. Everything is interconnected. All the universes are interconnected. So if one universe collapses in the fabric of creation, it affects all the other universes, because the in reality, individuation is not a real being. The being is one. The individuation is a persona. It's a facet. It's like if you look at a diamond, you have different facets. It's still the same diamond, but they're all facets reflecting light in a different way. So the risk now is a risk that exist at the level of the totality of creation. The facets within the diamond, or all the facets, need to be readjusted, rebalanced, and then we're going to do an inbreathing back into what you could call eventually will be paradise. So the individuals, okay, whatever they are, it could be human individuals or they could be creator individuals that are fighting this movement, because there's a big fight going on now. They want to continue projecting out in the high, in the, you know, in this projection of creation, and they're not ready to turn around and go back and start merging back up into the higher self and higher selves into even higher selves, because there are many levels of the higher self. These individuals have a timeline, if you want, but it's not a timeline of time. It's a point, a moment, whereby if they don't do the movement back and accept to reintegrate their higher selves, which should be beautiful, because when you reintegrate your higher self, you don't die, you just become tremendously aware. If they don't accept to do that, something is going to happen, and from what I get is that the life force will be taken away from them. It just won't be.
Is that what we're seeing now with so many deaths on the planet?
This is when we see so many deaths in the planet, or we see animals. I don't know if you recall, like last year in January 1st, there were a whole bunch of birds that would just drop off the sky. These were like, these are warnings given by nature to humanity, saying, watch it, because the time will come when what you see birds just dropping off the sky will happen to you. And then it's not death at that point. Like we think of death being that we go back to a different reality, waiting to be reincarnated or brought back into a lifetime. This is total erasure, because the life force is taken off now. Now you're talking about erasure, because
true
when
extinction.
You die, it's basically like as if you go into nothing. There's no memory of you. You never existed, because all of you, an entity is a energized memory bank. That's what a soul is. It's an energized memory bank that can still operate and is vibrated. But when the energy is taken off the memory bank, the memory is gone, and then it cannot operate anymore.
So these animal deaths, you know, there's been a variety of them, birds and fish and crabs,
yes,
and turtles and crabs and,
yes,
you know, all sorts of things. Are you saying that these animals, They're not dying in our traditional concept of it, in the
no.
sense of going to be created. They're not ascending in any form. They're actually ceasing to be altogether.
Right. In other words, it's like the plug is taken off the computer. They have no sense of not existing anymore. How can you be aware of not existing since you don't exist? It's not that you go to a different state.
And how is it a warning for us? How do we avoid that happening to humanity?
It's a warning to every single entity across the human plane, first of all, because we are extremely powerful here, because we are the feet of the Creator. In order for the Creator to connect to the Earth plane, it needs its feet, its toes. So we are walking the Earth. We are acting here. You know, even though the Creator might want us to do something, we have to do it, you know, what we perceive into action. So it's a warning to all the ones that are walking the earth and they have free will, which is humanity, because animals really don't operate within free will. They operate within perfection. It's different. We operate within imperfection.
I'm glad you got back to the Creator. I was waiting for that to happen before I said my piece. I actually disagree slightly. One is, I believe some of us been told not to go back to the source. Quite the opposite. The source has actually said that you must hold your individuality to become the next part of this whole format that's happening. And I believe that the people who are waking up, who do tap into this energy, they get the same message. I've had hundreds of people talk about it. So I disagree on the fact that these people are trying to do that on a thing. They're just following what they've been told to do anyhow, which is to become individualized, just like the first energy, and go forwards from there. And like I said, you can see past the so-called flashpoint, and I do it all the time, it's just that what you see is a whole different way of thinking and looking at creation. And that's all that's the difference. And the thing is, man's at the stage he can do this now because he doesn't have any fear. For instance, he's had all this fear of that he's going to go to hell. Since then, everybody's just dismissed that. So what's he scared of? Nothing. As his fears disappear, he becomes stronger and a creator. Instead of someone operating in fear, he becomes a creative being that projects new worlds the way he would like a new world. And we've seen how ugly this one's operating. So we have a floor plan. Each of us have a floor plan in our head already of what they would like to see gone. Money, Illuminati, blah, 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 and so on. There is people like the, you know, the so-called people that you're talking about who are trying to hold control over the system. And yes, they have to be taken away. But I think there's actually good ones out there as well.
So can I interact here? I think there is a misunderstanding in the language we use. We won't agree about exactly the same thing.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to do is... We both agree. It's just a perspective that you're looking at the perspective on the human side, and I'm looking at the total global perspective. It is absolutely correct what you said, that individuals who are ready for being creator, like God creators, okay, towards some level, because this is going to take. They're not going to become. You know, mega creator, but they're going to have a tremendous amount of control over reality.
Yeah,
because they're ready to go into oneness, which is the only reality for the one. It's oneness. Because they're already operating with it, and they're hoping for it, they're projecting it, and they've realized the power of their thoughts. These individuals these are the ones that will turn back and then will merge with the creator, but they will retain their individuality for eons. Because the process of reintegration is a process that will take eons also. So they will be part of what you call the new man, the new creation, the new way of operating. The ones that I'm referring that cannot make it are not going to be taken back into the one, if you want, as you said, as individuals. They will just cease to exist and become, if you want, then the one, because the light goes into them and that's it. They disappear. So
you're talking about the three inhalations.
Yes, Barbara, I said that, by the way.
The inhalation, the exhalation, and the annihilation. And you're talking about the ones who are annihilated.
The annihilated by becoming the one and with no individuality, which is basically means that the one takes their memory banks off. They're not there anymore.
What I'd like to say, Bob, is this. Put it this way. My level of what I want, I can come the transition point. The first thing I'm going to do is think for instance, the Catholic Church and all these things that I do not like operating, I'm going to think them out of existence. That's the first thing I'm going to do. So they're gone anyhow. And there's my people, Michael's on the same page as me, and so is a lot of other people who consider themselves the next part of those steps. So, and they don't like these people who have had power. And now we've got the power. They're losing it, and we're making them lie. We're making them, well, show their lies at least. We're making them fall over left, right, and center. So... they're making their videos come out and so on. So I believe that's the stage we're heading for.
Barbara's just asked for clarification on the flashpoint, and what I got was it's that moment between the out-breath and the in-breath. It's
there is a flashpoint, and I'll give you that, but it's like a TV being, you know, when you turn on the TV and you have that test pattern, it's more like that than anything, but it's just a blank screen. But you do see past that. You can see past that flashpoint, but you've got to stop treating it as a perception of what's happening now. The second you
see it as a whole new reality, then you can see past that flashpoint.
Okay. I think I get that. I'm struggling today to keep up with these concepts. You guys are just flying.
Are these people saying that, excuse me, that 20, or this date, you know, December 21st, that is the flashpoint that they can't see past?
Yeah, a lot of people do say that. Psychics say they can't see past December 2012. The so-called Black Ops technology says it can't see past that to a lot of the group.
Huh. Because I've been far, far, far ahead. The thing that I haven't seen is a flashpoint.
Okay, I can say for myself, I also see past. There is a phase, from what I'm getting, and that phase will end in 2019. Basically, we don't know when the real gap is going to be. That we don't know. But the beginning of the shift has already started, and it will continue on 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 19. By 2019, we're already established in the new creation. That's what I get.
That makes
and what
sense
is the new creation? What does it look like?
Huh.
I want details.
It's going to be a point where your thoughts are extremely creative, you know, which is a power that you wield, but has to be gifted to people who are shown by their heart. What is happening right now is that the God of all gods, okay, the one, is monitoring the hearts of people, not the mind, the hearts, constantly. And if people's heart is showing a full desire, and it's irrelevant what position they have in life, you know, if they're the head of a country, a CEO, or they're just somebody living under a bridge outside, if their heart is fully committed to oneness, and has the tendency that's not only allowing this, but is calling desperately for it, these are the people that will be going to the next creation. And I don't care, you know, if you're general of an army, if you're president of a country, but if your heart is not there, you're just not going to go.
I agree 100%. And, you know, like the way he's done it is really tricky. What he does is give power to people, and once he just waits for them to abuse it, and then it disappears. And Michael and I had Michael and I had an experience the other day, and we had a little bit of a conflict over it, actually. And we were talking with these other energy masters, and Michael made a joke. I knew it was a joke, but the other energy masters didn't know it was a joke, because Michael has a really strange sense of humor sometimes. And they took it seriously, and I had to talk to Michael really quickly and said, these guys are taking this serious. You're going to try and explain that this is a joke, because automatically the timeline that Michael was operating on, I could see a flashpoint again. And Michael picks it, and flashpoint disappears. So it's... We are creating our realities as we speak right this very second, 100%. It's just that, and we're creating our timelines, but this last part of the timeline is just like riding a wave. So you're riding it, and you can decide to go up it or down it, but you're on that wave.
So there are really all these people out there who are teaching that this is what you must do in order to participate in this ascension, and this is what you have to do, and you have to activate this and cleanse that and get rid of this, and it all comes down to just being in the heart.
Yeah.
Nothing
else. There's nothing else.
Well, Gerald,
you don't have to take special supplements or do anything. Yeah, of course you need to do a clan.
Yeah, ascension supplements.
Ascension supplements. I've heard people doing that now. You know, and talking about the DNA, and I'm getting there's nothing else but it's not only what you feel in your heart, it's what you're expressing, because it's not enough to say, you know, I have a good heart. It's just expressing oneness, and it's the way you look at people. If you have oneness, does not mean that you like the people you like. or you care for the people you like. Oneness means that even when you see people that are different from you and that you really don't like, you still see the divinity in them. And then you really respect them for being in a, unless they aggress you, of course, in which case, you know, you may have a reaction of either turning away and reacting.
I'm definitely not as nice as you. I like to smash it open and find out what was inside to make that happen.
Yeah, yeah, but that's a reaction that we have. But real oneness, you know, for the one, is to understand that both the light, the gray, and all the shades of gray and the dark are part of the one. It's all part of the one. It's all part of creation. And then and it's for you to hope that even the ones that are unaware for now will become aware and try to get them to become aware. And you know what? And the key to this is to keep your sense of humor. You have to understand this is also a very high-level game being played out. A lot of the characters need to play what you could call the so-called undesirable characters so that it does test our level of real heart, of oneness within. Because go ahead, I'm sorry.
Can I tell you something that Michael and I do that's really funny? And this we do this on a daily basis, and we do it for fun. It's like it's our idea of having fun. We'll be thinking of something of what we want and what we want to talk about today, and then we'll project it to Facebook, and without even saying anything, we'll watch the conversation and the posts change to what we want without actually putting one of the posts up ourselves. And we'll do that, and then we'll even do something outrageous and come up with a whole stupid idea, and we'll project that to it, and suddenly people are posting that, and we just sit there laughing our heads off. Michael will confer with me on this.
Right. Well, you know, I don't want to get you depressed or that's what creators do all the time. They play with it. Like, they play. They're fun. For them, it's fun sometimes. I question their sense of humor, but sometimes it's fun for them.
Hey,
you know,
Gerald. Gerald, this is Barbara.
It's just like looking at the possibilities.
Right.
I have a question. I wanted to do a follow-up to something you mentioned a bit earlier. You were talking about how creativity amongst those that are beginning to awaken will exemplify or will, you know, just grow exponentially. And I was really curious, when you say that, do you have that level of creative power now? And if so, can you actually create something where nothing was there before, like Michael and Peter have talked about doing on our show before?
You mean like create a flower out of thin air?
Yes.
No, I cannot. You know, somebody said they can?
Yeah, Michael and Peter, who are also on the show with us tonight, they're part of the regular crew here. They actually have done that a couple of times. Maybe, Michael, you can share one of your stories quickly so that he can get a feel for what you guys have been doing with some of your creative energy.
Yeah, and it's nothing that I like to differentiate between things that I have done.
Wait a second, Michael.
Hang on, Michael. Can't hear you. You're all staticky. Try again.
How about now? Are we okay?
Oh, much better.
Good.
Okay. I like to differentiate between things that I have done and things that I can do. So if I tell you guys that I can do something, that means that if you were in my presence right now, I could do it. Having done something is way different than being able to do something. But in two experiences where I've been around other energy masters fully awakened, I was able to project orbs, which is I'm sure you're familiar with that, Gerald. It's the form we take when we, you know, go out of our body and view and stuff. Up into the air, and the other energy master merged his energy with my orb, so our two orbs became one. And then I projected the vibration of a bird inside of that orb. And next thing I know, it started tweeting like a bird up there in the blank, dark sky. And then I fed it even more energy, and real physical birds began to fly out of it. And Peter does something similar. He has an affinity for insects. He's been able to create insects from his orbs.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
I have a clip of that. I don't know where it is anymore. I get the insects to start singing like an orchestra and start conducting them. I really like that clip.
And I had another follow-up, too, if you wouldn't mind, Gerald. That was, when you remote view, are you actually remote viewing in what we would call this time and dimension, or do you expand into another realm? Could you actually explain that a little bit for us?
Okay, let's say if you're asking me about what I see for a timeline, like 2013 and 14.
I actually mean more like you're sitting in your chair right now and you decide to remote view something. And if you're all of your remote viewing is in the future, then I guess the answer to that question would be yes. But if that's what I was trying to clarify, do you remote view and project forward? Do you remote view other things in this, say, earthly time and dimension, but another part of the planet? You know, what is the remote viewing experience that you pursue?
Do you remote view in real time so you can go and see what somebody's doing in that moment?
I'll be frank with you. I usually don't to interfere with people's bubble reality, but if I do this, I sense it. I just know it. I don't even have to project myself out.
Understood.
Do you understand? It's like a knowing. It's like being in the background and knowing what's happening in the foreground where the senses are.
To me, it almost seems like tuning in.
Right, exactly. Tuning into the energy.
Yeah, you tune into whatever it is that you want to know. You just kind of tune into it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
my perception, that's better than... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Now, Bob knows I remote view a lot. I used to remote view a lot, I should say, in past tense. But I haven't been doing that more so. I've been, just like Bob was saying, getting in tuned with the now. I used to remote view the future and present. If there was... I don't like to infringe on people's privacy, just like he was saying. I don't like to look in on someone without their knowledge. If there was something that needed to be done, like, for instance, something was taken away from somebody as a property, I would remote view to find that property for a person.
Right.
As far as future events, I would remote view in that aspect because it's only perceptive when you remote view for that future event, because that can change quickly just by looking at it.
Correct.
So as far as trying to get people a feel on the possibilities, that's what I would only use it for, just as a possibility. But right now I've been pretty much tuning into the now and seeing things as they unfold and creating in the now so that my reality matches my feeling.
Trying to play an active role in creating the reality that you want for yourself.
Exactly. That's exactly what I've been pretty much been harnessing of recent times. And it's actually, I'm very ecstatic about it because it's like a new toy.
Well, guys, what I'd like to do at the moment is play a song, give everybody a chance to get themselves a drink, go to the bathroom, whatever they need to do. And then when we get back, bring... try and talk about how we bring this into the collective consciousness, the collective imagination, and our role in that at the moment, at this present time. So let's have a song. See you in about 6 minutes.
Michael, if you can hear me, can you message me on Skype? Got an idea.
Welcome back to this side of the rainbow. And Gerald, just before we move on, I wanted to ask you about specifics. It's come up in the chat room, and you know, we're certainly in a time of complete uncertainty and disinformation, and you know, perhaps a lot of well-intentioned people trying to guide us through this period. But how can you? I know you said that's, you know, just even by viewing it, you're sort of influencing it. But is there anything that we can hold on to in terms of specifics as to the next few months leading up to the end of this year and beyond?
Okay. The most important thing right now is we are being bombarded, I mean totally bombarded by stories that try to create fear, anxieties, a sense of disempowering of the individual, and very often humans, instead of reacting in a way by which they refuse stories and they refuse this unreal world that's projected to us right now, because it's really unreal. It's a little bit like the story of the Matrix. Very often, the individuals feel that this sense of they're totally disillusioned and they're tired of listening to people promising them heavens in such a time or reaction in such a time, and they get angry at each other. And it's just like, or they just don't react. And,
now, speaking for myself, I have to say I've completely disengaged from the fear-mongering. It does not feel part of my reality or part of my world at all.
Right. But the fear-mongering is something that's really contaminating our world right now.
Mm.
It is there. You know, even if so the first thing we should understand is that because of the level of conflict that humanity is now faced with, and because of the level of situations that have to be overcome, and then the depth of the situation and the dislocations at all levels, if it's economical, if it's political, if it's societal, if it's ecological, there is no human that can fix this. this is far beyond the ability of any human or group of humans to fix. So the first thing we should fix is our environment, personal environment, and then we should project to the world a new world that we want to see. We have to keep a vision. It's very important to keep a vision active and create this new reality. It's not going to be exactly the same reality, but the principle should be a principle of the unity of the human family, and the principle should be the unity of all creatures under God, because we're all the children of God. So that is the vision we have to keep alive. The rest, we should leave it to the creators. The forces are here. There are some tremendous, tremendous, very powerful energies have come down now for this period at all levels and are rebalancing this creation. I can tell you from awareness, you know, even though it looks like it's Groundhog Day now, every day seems to be the same as every day else. You know, nothing is really seems to be moving. What is really happening is that there is a balancing down on all levels of creation by these realities, by these gigantic energies, intelligences, if you want to call them. So that we don't, you know, collapse into the abyss. I mean, we are so close to it.
You know, one of the things that this year for me has been huge for is speculation and prediction about what's going to happen. And yet it has been the quietest year for many in terms of what's actually happened.
Right. You know why? Oh, sorry. This is my new phone ring. Let me wish this happened. Sorry.
It's okay. I mean, if we were to add up all of the things that have, you know, supposed to have happened this year, whether it's been financial or geopolitical or even natural disasters, it should have been a hell of a busy year, but it really hasn't been.
Yeah, I think that was Soros calling in, giving him the answer.
But well, where's he got? We've lost him altogether, have we?
Gerald.
Hello.
Oh, there you are.
Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry. The reason why it's been such a quiet year is because it's not been a quiet year. Because it's exactly this was what was supposed to happen, and it has not happened because it's tremendous activity to keep this creation in balance. Because otherwise, this creation would have been destroyed.
Hang on. Say that again. All of the stuff that was speculated and predicted should have happened?
It was within the lower elements of creation, within their awarenesses, would have seen a timeline with everything would end in disasters, in gigantic wars, and then in dislocation of the balance of nature, and then who knows what. That was a possibility. It has been avoided by the grace of the One. That's it. And then the intervention is so high in this level and on other levels, because we are the body with the embodiment of the One. We live inside that embodiment, if you call this an embodiment of creation. And it is balancing itself from within, not from outside. It's not coming on the outside. It's from within. It's balancing itself. That's why Fukushima has not destroyed part of humanity, which it was supposed to do, by the way. You can see intervention right and left. That's why the Gulf situation in the U.S. has not gotten worse than it is, because it could have poisoned and it could have... I mean, there were horrific consequences within the logic of nature that could have happened. That's why, even though we poison our food supply to an incredible extent, our DNA is somehow kept functioning, because we should have altered our DNA in much more negative ways. And that's why conflicts that you can see looming on the Middle East have not occurred yet.
Trying to figure out which came first. Was it the Creator's plan and all of the Creator beings between there and here for this to be a smooth transition? And so they've had to put in a little bit of extra energy in order to keep it smooth based on negative forces wanting to do otherwise? Or was it the Creator's plan for it to be somewhat more tumultuous, and yet Creator beings in between the Creator and us have stepped in?
Okay, let's define what you call the Creator then. What do you call the Creator?
Well, the one.
Right, because there is a level of a creator of, let's say, of this creation. Okay, you could call it's the one for this creation, but it's not the real one who has all the creation under its.
Well, that's what I meant by creator beings between the creator and us being. So you've got the one, the very source of it all, and then you've got creator beings along the way.
Right, so, the sub god, so to speak. Yeah. So the sub god here, we're basically paralyzed because there is a level here, which you could call the level of the abyss, which is being somehow it was created by almost by default, but not by not it's not an accident, but it's by default eons ago. That level knows that it will disappear, and that level is been fighting, with all its might and power, so that this inbreeding does not occur now. So there is, for that level, which is like a black hole, the destruction of a creation, of most of the level of creation, to a great extent, is not a disaster at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because it operates within much more levels of cause and effect, and then therefore it will say, well, you know, it's like a eugenic type of situation. We have less humans, therefore it's easier to continue, and or we have less creations, therefore it's easier to concentrate on it. And then it is absolutely ruthless. It is heartless. It's extremely intelligent, but it's heartless. And we are still within the power of that so-called grouping of entities, and then this is why the one has to intervene, because within these entities exist within the one, but they don't exist within the creator gods necessarily.
I think I got that. So in terms of us as individuals, you know, we have a desire and an intent and a pure intent to be a part of whatever's going on here and play a positive role and be service to others. And essentially that's all we have to do to participate. But what about collectively? What can we do collectively?
Well, what you do individually as one and oneness becomes a collective.
Mm-hmm. But as we come together in groups like this to actively, collectively make a difference.
Talk simplicity. You can talk to what you consider to be the most, you know, an undesirable individual, but you can. There is a level within that individual that knows love. Every individual, whether it's a psychopath, even was born out of love. So that level exists, and if you can make that level resonate and show them that you accept them in your family, you accept them as your brother or sister. That the human family is one; it's not many. It's not like we're seeded from different areas. It's irrelevant because we're still one family here. And this whole purpose is to recreate the family, not only on the human side, but the family of the one, which means the humans, the animals, the other creations, which are starting to bleed into us. I mean, you notice there are creations and individuals from other creations are coming in and out of this reality here now, because the worlds are like interpenetrating now as they're starting to recontract. And in the future, that's going to be a natural state. When we see all this, we have to understand we are all the same. We are all just facets, manifestation of the same being, the one. You know, we are all the same energy flows into all of us. And it all cares. It really does care. The idea that it does not care is an idea that is born out of the dark side. The idea that it cares only for one group versus another group is an idea that's born out of the dark side. And those ideas have to be fought not with violence, but with love. You know, by just not showing this behavior. You can't show this behavior because that's not the way the one operates.
That this perspective that the dark side, the darkness is serving the light as well by almost forcing us, slapping us about the face to wake us up.
Yeah.
Do you think that the dark side has realized its time has come, that it's served its purpose, that it is actually free now to go on and do something else?
Yes. It's a question of perspective on the dark side. There are levels within the dark side. There are individual or so-called individual within the dark side who don't have that, because they don't understand the whole perspective of the dark side. But the dark side is really a dark side an awareness. It's not like a dark side in color. It's not, you know, it can show the most beautiful sun, but it's still the dark side. It's a level that fights the awareness of unification in order to promulgate the idea of separation and create systems of biological systems, which are illusions anyway, but biological systems or political systems or religious systems that promulgate separations of individuals, okay? And the idea of races and colors and whatever it is. It's brilliant. But that level knows that its program, because it's really a program, okay, energized program, is about to go. And it has no way out. But within itself, it has a tremendous amount of entities that don't understand this, and since they want to continue as individuals within the dark side, as you call it, these levels may still be fighting, but it's not gonna work.
I mean, understand.
You know, it's painful. It's painful though while it's happening, because every time you turn around, people are attacking each other or they're aggressing each other, and they don't care if people are falling by the wayside or are poor or so forth. That's just a manifestation of the reaction of fear of, because they're afraid of death.
Mm-hmm.
That level is really afraid of death, so it's reacting in that manner.
Yeah, I guess that's how I see it, that, you know, if you were to look at it as a hierarchy of the dark side, you know, the ones at the very top, they understand these greater esoteric understandings. They get it. They understand that their purpose has been served, and they've been serving the light by promulgating the separation, so that we get so far into the separation we understand there's only actually oneness,
right.
And that they've served their role. But it's the ones on the lower levels who have just bought into the power and the greed and the self-promotion that comes with being a part of that, they're holding on. And
yes, they're holding on for dear life, because they're not about unification or about joy. Joy is something you want to share. You cannot be joyful by yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, who wants to stay alone in four walls and saying, I'm joyful? Yeah. It's something that you want to share with company. These are not into joy. They're not into happiness. They don't want to spread happiness. They don't want to spread joy. They want to spread power. They want to spread control. They want to spread the fear of themselves or the system that they promulgate. And they feed out of that, you know, because this is their energy. This is how they operate. It's not that they cannot understand the other side. It's because the system is what it is until now. It's been operating like this. It's not necessarily their fault, but they are a consequence of the system, and that they've become what they've become, you know, throughout eons of operation.
Yeah.
So that's why the one is not judging them either. He's also going into that area, even in that area, and checking if there is a desire to evolve and to go back to a different, and then many are willing to do that, even in the dark side. They're asking to be changed. They're asking to understand what it's like to feel. You know, all those stories of aliens, you have always those like very cold aliens that come in here, and then they don't understand what it's like to feel humanity, to feel for a poor person, or to feel pain. And it's the same story being played out.
Gotcha. Yep.
Okay.
Everybody else has gone very, very quiet, though.
It's
Bob,
dead.
You there? Barbara?
It's just so thick and rich and dense that I just have to take it in.
What about Chris? We've actually got Chris on the line, too. Chris, are you there? No, maybe we've lost him.
No, you haven't lost me.
No, he's there.
What are you thinking of all of this?
Well, I'm thinking it's an extension of a conversation I was having about 1 minute before I started trying to get onto the show, and I had to struggle with some technical problems. But I've been this morning. I have been schooled twice, and it's like it was the same piece of information, just one led into the other. So, and it's all about the mind, the perspective that you have. And for me, anyway, at the moment, I appear to be pushed from one teacher to another at a tremendous rate, and it seems to be going day by day. But like Barbara, I'm actually just taking it in. But I certainly thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Lisa, I did notice that Lisa in the chat room had said that she didn't quite understand that power thing. And I think she was referring
to not getting why some people are so attracted to power over others.
Okay, got it.
And if that's not the case, Lisa, let me know. But that's what I got you were saying. Bob, did you want to chime in here?
No, I guess I can. I was listening to everything of what he was saying, and you know, I think a lot of times human beings, they're afraid. You know, some people are afraid of taking that responsibility, that level of responsibility of their own creations, and because of that, you know, they create by default, so to speak. You know, and when he starts talking about, you know, those who are creators, he's talking about those who have actually stepped into their own power, those who have taken, you know, their awareness to a place where they understand and can consciously create and hold that power within themselves. And I believe that, you know, as far as humanity is concerned, I believe that, you know, we get to choose. And a lot of times, you know, we are in a collective reality, but really you only have ultimate control over your own. You have ultimate control over your experience. You know, you can co-create with other people, but you can't make their choices for them. So in any scenario that you see, the best thing that you can do is to master yourself. The best thing that you can do regardless of what's going on, the best thing that you can do is to master yourself. And we were talking about fear and doubt. These are the things that, you know, we have been operating from for a long time. And there's a lot of, you know, a time and energy and money invested in keeping it that way. And it's understandably why, you know, and this is the same reason why I talked about earlier that people fight and kill over beliefs and belief systems that have been packaged in religions, because these beliefs are creating reality, and they want to maintain the status quo. They want to hold, you know, this reality the way it is, and it can't. And anybody who understands the principles of the universe knows it's constantly changing, constantly, you know, evolving, constant. So to try to hold things in place, you know, it's contrary to the way the universe functions. And those people who resist are going, they're causing lots of problems right now, but eventually, you know, from what I'm gathering from the whole conversation, once we pass this threshold, that is going to, it's going to become very, very difficult for them. And this pulling away of the energy as it's coming back, you know, they can choose to stay, but like you said, they'll be unplugged. And being unplugged is that, then you know, you know, really where the power is coming from, or where the source is, or who the source is. But it's not each of us individually. We are all faced in our day-to-day lives, you know, with all kinds of chaos, you know, people that are demanding your attention. Pay attention to this fearful thing, you know, and there, each and every one of those moments, we have a choice individually to choose whether you want to incorporate that in your reality or not.
You know, Bob, you're reminding me of something that was on Facebook the other day, and it may have even come from somebody on this panel when you were talking about religion, and I'm probably going to paraphrase, but it said something along the lines of, if your religion advocates killing others, then please start with yourself. And I thought, right. Well, that solves a lot of problems. But it's losing its grip. You know, it really is.
And you know,
that was from me again, by the way, Lisa.
Yeah, I had a feeling it was one of you.
But you know, I see that, you know, each of us, we all get to choose what kind of future we want to have. Make that choice, you know.
Yeah,
stop waiting.
People who listen to this call over the last several weeks, to, you know, really start giving some thought, start writing it down, start sharing your ideas on the Facebook page, start imagining it.
Exactly, keep the
start
vision, because we only create by
sight and learning how to control your powers instead of just dawdling in the abyss of nothing. Let's actually learn how to concentrate your powers and actually do them, create, manifest things consciously instead of subconsciously. That's the trick. You've got a free.
No, stop doing it by
you've got. Yeah, go to a site, learn the techniques. You know, it's free, for Christ's sakes, you know. And, you know, we get one or two people from the show. It's there's tools there that you guys could be just playing with on a daily basis. Like, I want Michael to do this exercise in a minute. That it's an exercise, not a meditation today, but it's a really cool exercise. And if he does it properly, I'm hoping that you'll all actually get to see out of the back of your head, which is going to be an interesting thing for you, because you're going to actually see that it's possible to see alternate realities.
How long did you do that?
It's a very quick technique, isn't it, Michael? I've already talked to Michael about it.
3 to 5 minutes at the most.
Okay. Well, that sounds like something to leave towards the end, because after every time we do an exercise or a meditation, I'm a bit of an airhead afterwards, so I'll leave that for later. So, Gerald, holding the vision, I mean, is it important that we hold a collective vision, or is it okay for all of us to hold an individual vision?
You cannot hold a collective vision. There is no collective vision that you can possibly hold.
Okay.
And there is no individual vision that you can possibly hold either, because in reality, your world is a bubble world. In other words, what you hold within is what starts being projected outside to you. You're inviting characters in your life that are resonating to the state of mind you are in at that particular moment. So if you're in a state of happiness, you're going to start seeing people around you resonating with that happiness. If you're in a state of frustration and anger, or a state of victim, you're going to find the aggressor in front of you, or you're going to find other people suddenly getting angry at you for unknown reasons. The little difference we're having right now is that all the parts of the mind, because it's very difficult to understand what the one really means. The one means it's one mind. We are all part of one mind. We're not different minds. We are different facets of one mind. And the mind is dynamically changing constantly because we are thinking within that mind.
Mm-hmm.
So for the one mind, the cleansing that's happening right now is a cleansing at the level of the totality of the mind. The system by which we had been operating until now was a system of power. And if I may want to explain that, but now I'm going to a little higher explanation. The system of power was a system whereby if you add one to one, you get two. In other words, if you had a system of energy, when certain energy has a certain amount of energy and you add another energy to it, next to it, and you merge them together, they get more energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That was how the mind operated. That's called the system of the pyramid. In other words, you would get power from the bottom of the pyramid, from the amount of people that think like you, that you can then control. You suck that energy within you because you have them under your control, and that gives you power to do what you need to do and then create what you need to create. That's why you would see around us religions, you would see a political system where people would try to, like, almost hypnotize the mass groups of people around an idea. And as long as they could do that, they would draw the energy from these people, suck it in, and then they could manifest their thoughts or whatever thoughts there was.
So is that why we've ended up with a hierarchical structure in every aspect of society?
Every aspect.
A corporation,
of society.
A government, a religion, a society,
yes.
Everything
yes.
Based on that.
Yeah. It was created by the one. It's not something we, you know, it was an experiment. Okay? And at the end, maybe I'll read you something that I got in 1991 from a level, very high level. I was explaining that. It was just an experiment that was set up in creation. And you'll notice at the top of the pyramid, the usually the apex, the what they call the capstone, is usually not there. It's not an accident, because everybody is trying to climb to the top, and they think that they're forming an artificial capstone where you become the god of your creation, if you want. And I'm going now a little deeper than I should openly. And then you're ruling over that level, whatever that is. Like you said, a corporation, it could be a movement, it could be a creation. And then you're on top. And that's constantly being challenged by other forces that try to climb up and push you down and take you over. And that's the story of our creation. That only existed because the artificial creation of the system of additive power, which is additive consciousness, was manifested by the one in this creation. So that when you had one energy of a certain voltage or power and then an energy of a certain voltage and power, that you put them together, you get double the voltage or even exponentially more. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
That whole system is about to go. This is the big shift. It won't happen, because at the level of the one, there is no power. It doesn't work like this.
There's no hierarchy.
It is no hierarchy. There are facets of operation, qualities, not quantities. What is important there is qualities. When you get a certain quality, you can create more. When you don't get the quality, you don't create. You can get 5 million people behind you scanning something, won't make any difference. Because as long as the quality does not resonate with the quality of the one, which is oneness is what the one is only about, you will not be able to create anything with it. So you can have 5 million people, you know, jumping around an idea, or having, you know, a book or a political idea, or being patriotic for an artificial country because they speak the same language for a while, and that's not going to do anything.
You know, you're reminding me of something, and I don't know if it's a good analogy or not, but there was a video game that was created that I used to see at a lot of the sort of alternative expos, and it worked on a biofeedback system. And so you'd play this video game, and what you were doing was your hands would be inside these biofeedback devices, and you had to reach a certain level of meditation. Your brainwave patterns, your heart rate, all of these things had to reach a certain level before you could manipulate the game. And you worked your way through it so that you could levitate balls in the game or work your way through a particular puzzle. So it was always about feeding off you in terms of where you were at consciously. You had to be at a certain space of consciousness in order to play this game.
Right.
So I'm seeing that as a somewhat of an analogy for what you're saying, in that it's the quality of where you're at as opposed to just having six people plugged into this game would allow you to play it. No, one person can play it based on their quality of where they're at consciousness.
If I may just quote one sentence that I got in 1991 from the one, he says, at the level of the godliness, we're talking about the one now, might nor force rules. It never did, and it never will, because all of it is illusionary. Strength is but a dream of one's own limitations. That's it. At the level of the infinite, there is no strength. It's ridiculous. All of these are misconceptions that are given to our creation. The misconception of quantity of consciousness, not quality of consciousness.
And if that's what's changing, that's why we're seeing all of these hierarchical structures starting to disintegrate.
They're just disintegrating. So that's why I'm begging people, don't take guns, don't go underground, the sun will not explode, you know. You don't have to go kill anybody, because killing is not allowed within creation, because a part is not allowed to take out another part in creation. Only the one, I'm talking about the real one, the totality of the one, can do this, because at the level of the one, it's only doing surgery within itself. It's like if you take a cell that's disturbing and you take it out, you're not killing it, you're just doing something to your own embodiment, not someone else in perception. So this whole idea of we have to get involved right now, especially in such a very holy and special phase as what is happening now, in doing it in a violent way, no. We should strike, yes. You turn your head away from movements that you know are not the movements that are promoting oneness, and you just don't participate. You know, you don't go on the internet and watch whatever, you know, horror stories or fear stories are telling you are going to happen now, because this is all projected by the dark side. So right now we don't have to put the dark.
Gerald, yes. That lovely, really powerful quote you just read a moment ago, where did that originate from?
Came from the One Straight, 1991. It's on my website. If you go probablefuture.com/oneness.htm, 1991 it came. It explained exactly how this whole period will start and how it will operate. And we're talking over 20 years ago.
So you've been doing this for a very long time.
Yeah, longer than you would know, yeah. Yes.
And just for those who are interested, at probablefutures.com as well, Gerald's got programs for sale for students. Yeah, on remote viewing and remote influencing, if you're interested in that. And there's a lot of information on there that he's been able to share, and also sign up for his newsletter, because that's the last few emails that I've gotten from you of what prompted me to ask you to join this program, because so much of it was in alignment with not only what Michael and Peter talk about from an energetic perspective and in terms of our abilities, but what we talk about so much on this program about what's going on at this time and where we're going. So it was all good, very good information.
Thank you. Yeah, but I just want to correct one thing. It's probable future.
Oh, what did I say?
Futures.
Sorry.
Sorry, that's okay.
Yes, we want to get it right. We don't want to set it somewhere else.
Right. They're going to start trading commodities. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, right, of course. No, don't touch the stock market.
All right.
So, yeah, it's interesting that as we're watching all of these hierarchical structures, I mean, they're all under attack. Financial, Vatican, government.
Everything.
It's just whatever was holding them up before is just not there anymore.
Because the truth is showing up of what they really are about, you know. And you can't hide truth, because truth is really what the One is about. And the truth of what the One is about is oneness. And since they're not in oneness, that is perking up. You see it, you know. And then everybody is starting to realize that, you know, the government is not protecting or caring about the people, that the corporations have absolutely no care about most of them. I'm saying all of them. Some of them do. Are not about the people. That the people don't really care about the other people. The doctors not necessarily be caring about health. And then, you know, and so on and so forth. So all this is happening. And this realization, although it's frustrating, is very healthy. It's good to see, you know, to be able to awaken. You don't have to react necessarily violently, but you have to understand that this process is happening in front of our eyes. It's been happening already for a good number of years, but now it's really like, you know.
But for those who don't, and I know some of them, you know, because we've been, at least since we were put into school, even the school system is a hierarchical system, and taught to not think for yourself, to not take responsibility for yourself. There is always someone above you to tell you what to do, or someone below you who you can boss around. And, you know, you go from the school system into the workplace, which is, again, a hierarchical system. And for people who have had that all of their lives, they don't know what an alternative looks like. They don't know what it's like to sit perhaps in a round table and just have everybody on equal footing. And that's scary for some. Not having someone to tell them how to behave and what to do and what's appropriate and what isn't.
But that's why I'm getting the message that in already now it's happening. It's just starting to happen. But what will happen is that since the mind is really one mind, as you start to resonate with the one mind, you will be guided by the one mind. You won't have to ask your teachers, your parents, or your psychologist, or whomever you go to see, what to do. You're going to get that guidance from within. Everything will come from within. And the world will be guided by one and the oneness. So we're talking about what we think is a paradise on Earth, but that's the dream the One has for his own creation. This was what we had until now was artificial system, call it the Matrix, call it anything you want, was an artificial system that was created as an experiment so that we are, who are all of us, are parts of the one, would have learned the pain that separation, you know, or the idea of separation causes to humanity, to all of us, you know. And right now we're in the midst of feeling the pain, painfully.
Yes, painfully. Okay, right. Michael and Peter, do you want to move into whatever this little experiment is of yours that you have for us?
Michael's going to work on your throat.
And what do you
Should
need?
Should we do it with music, you think, or with a... What do you think, Peter?
Doesn't really matter, Michael, does it? It's just an exercise, so just do it without it. Don't worry about doing the meditation. Try the exercise.
We've got an echo on the line still.
I don't know. I've got a headset. Maybe it's mine. I don't know, but it's a headset. But if only I'm talking, there's no echo, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody, center yourself. We're going to start with the breath. I want you to imagine the very center of your mind as a void space that's contracting inward. And attach that void space to your breath and do a long, concentrated inhale, filling your head with energy 360 degrees. So the air isn't just coming into your nostrils. It's literally coming in through 360 degrees to every pore, rushing in to fill this void space in the center of your mind, and do a long, concentrated inhale for about 10 seconds. And as you do this, the void space begins to be filled with light. So do it one more time. And when you get to the peak of your in-breath, hold your breath and breathe that light that you've built up in the center of your mind. Push it out your forehead. You should feel a tingling on your brow. Push it out a little bit further and have your eyes closed. And now I want you to begin to move around your head. So this bit of energy that you've pushed out the front of your head, you can go clockwise or counterclockwise, whatever feels right to you, but begin to circle around your head. And do it slowly. So don't go too quick. Make sure you've got the connection, and you'll feel this energy buzzing around your head. And you'll also notice that your eyeball muscles, the bifocal vision, is actually the two halves. It's your mind. It's your soul. Okay, so it's not the muscles that are doing this movement. It's actually your soul that contracts your muscles that causes you to experience what we call vision. But as you move this orb that you're creating around your head, you're going to feel that you're using the same exact force that you would to move your eyeballs, except that you're moving your mind instead of your eye muscles. So begin circling your head again. And with each revolution that you complete, try to project a little further out. Now, depending on how far out you are, you should be feeling yourself move through the air. You might even be feeling the walls of your room, and some of you might even be able to get out even further than that. And if you make a mental connection at this point, and you realize that there's only one sense, and that's vibration, and what we do is we break up or one sense into five senses: vision, sight, sound, taste, touch, etc. So you're able to feel that air or the wall or outside of your room, that means you can translate that feeling vibration into sight. So what I want you to do now is do one big wide circle as far as you can and stop at the back of your head.
to project out behind your head about 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Now flip your perception of vision backwards and see if you can use that feeling of being behind your head and translate it into visual data via your inner mind. Now, whether you're getting sight data or just feeling data, I want you to begin to contract back in. So I want you to pull your mind mass back into the center of your head slowly. Come in through the back of your head and back into the center of your mind. Take a very careful inventory of what it felt like when you pressed the back of your skull and re-entered your brain. Like for me, my whole body vibrated with tingles.
And we'd like to see what sensations people had. And if they saw anything, that would be interesting in the chat room.
In the chat. Works for me too.
I love doing that one. It's my favorite.
I was actually spinning around my head way too fast. And it got me dizzy.
Right.
You said slow.
That's another thing I like to mention. Like if you go outside and you begin to spin around in a circle and make yourself dizzy, and stop. You know how the world keeps spinning? Well, the world is spinning. Because you're projecting the world. Each of us, like Gerald was saying, is projecting our own bubble consciousness within the world according to the physical pattern that's been preset. So your world is spinning. And now science would come along because they can only work with observable data and they'd say, oh, that's not true. That's because the fluid in your ears and blah, blah, blah. Well, the fluid in your ears is disturbed because your soul and your world was spinning around, and that in turn had an effect on your physical. So what I try to help people do is break through these barriers. We have this digital perception of this is a physical experience, and that's a spiritual experience. So you're either having a physical experience or spiritual experience, but that's not the case. It's not digital. It's not on or off. It's analog. There's a smooth flow that you can find with a sensitive consciousness in between the physical perception and the spiritual or the energy or the soul perceptions of things. And once you find this, life is never the same again.
Sorry, I'm just trying to pick my eyes up off the floor. I think I've dropped them.
What'd you do then, Gerald?
I'm back.
I think it was very powerful. Thank you very much. It was great. And
sure.
And you're absolutely right. Yeah. Everything is operating in a spiral. Everything. The reality behind everything is a spiral. As a matter of fact, I remember one scientist saying that the Earth might be supposedly turning around the sun, but it is in a cone. It's moving. And it's spiraling also, so that's why maybe time is supposedly accelerating right now, because it's not one rotation is not the same. But when we said the mind is constantly spiraling, and I interjecting a joke, which is not really a joke. When people are getting drunk, suddenly the world starts turning around. It's because their brain is so poisoned that they're connecting to the soul side. There's no balancing done to them anymore. and they get scared because they see everything moving around. But that's the way it is.
Yeah, that's what happens so often in experiences where people think they're hallucinating, or that they, as soon as they start experiencing the infinite, they call it an illegitimate experience or a hallucinogenic experience because it wasn't solid or fit like perception that we normally dwell in, but what they're actually seeing was the truth.
No,
Back in my younger days, I used to like to experiment with these things called magic mushrooms, and I don't recommend it to everybody. But I remember finding this glass one day, and my friend and I are in this rainforest, and we found this sheet of glass, and we picked it up, and I'm going, wow, it's bending. Look, you can bend this glass, and it's wonderful. And we were bending this glass and what have you. But when we got home, we noticed that all our hands were cut to pieces. So when reality kicked in, there was a repercussion.
All right, we've got 60 seconds to go, so thanks for leaving it on that note, Peter. I want to thank everybody, Peter, Michael, Bob, Barbara. We were joined briefly by Bevan and Chris. Thank you all very much for joining in. Thanks again to everybody in the chat room, because conversation and the comments and the feedback is always wonderful. And thank you very much, Gerald. Amazing.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. It was a beautiful experience. I really enjoyed it.
And once again, Gerald's website, probablefuture.com.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Have a great week, and we'll see you all next week.
You too. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye, everybody.
You too. Bye.